attitudes and opinions. We all have them, some kept private within our hearts and in our minds, sometimes barely held there by biting our tongues. At other times, our attitudes and our opinions are expressed rather freely, verbally, cursively, for those of us who still know how to write cursively, more often than not, wirelessly. Our right to freedom of speech has been rightfully defended. Our freedom of expression has almost become an absolute. However, anonymous and non-anonymous postings of opinions and attitudes can be vicious, untrue, and they're impossible to retract. We sometimes forget that with our rights come responsibilities, and that our expressions need to be truthful. And even when our expressions are truthful, they need to be tempered by charity and respect, decency, and good judgment. Attitudes and opinions, we all have them. As we gather to celebrate the Eucharist this morning, we hear St. Paul begging the Christians living in the city of Philippi to do nothing out of selfishness or vainglory, the Bible word for unhealthy pride, excessive vanity, thinking that I and only I have value. His advice almost sounds silly. Humbly regard others as more important than yourselves. Humbly regard others as more important than yourself. But think about that. If this side of the church thought that side of the church was more important, and that side of the church thought that this side of the church was more important, everybody ends up being important. Everyone ends up being treated with respect. Folks in the choir loft, they always think they're important, so we don't have to compare them to anybody else. They're special, you know. They're above all of us. Actually, the Word of God reminds us that our attitude is to be the attitude of Christ. And we sometimes think of ourselves as the most important person in the world. Some children, teenagers, and adults are being raised and are living as if the world revolves around them. And it's important for us to remember that humility is not self-hatred. Humility is healthy honesty. We recognize our vices, but we also are aware of our virtues. We know that we are sinners, but we're also aware that we are saints. And as we gather to celebrate the Eucharist, St. Paul sets a standard for us. And the gold standard is Christ Jesus. Not grabby, but generous, humble, and obedient. And because of the attitude of Christ, we are told that Christ has been raised up. Christ has been lifted up. Is the attitude of Christ influencing my behavior and yours? Is the attitude of Christ changing my behavior and yours for the better? At a time and within a culture where bad attitudes have become a divisive epidemic, the attitude of Christ, compassion and mercy, humility and love, seem to be our only encouraging reason for hope. It doesn't happen often in the Gospels, but in today's Gospel it happens. Jesus asks for an opinion. It's directed to the chief priest and the elders. Which son does the Father's will? The mouthy and rebellious one who first says no but then changes his mind? Or the son who seems to be nice and obedient but then does nothing? The unanimous opinion is that the son, the first son, did in the end the Father's will. There are an awful lot of opinions. An opinion, as you know, is a view or a judgment formed about someone or something, but it doesn't have to be based upon truth or knowledge. Opinions can be pretty subjective, sometimes inaccurate. We can even hold opinions that are silly or sinful or completely disconnected from revealed truth and experienced reality. And so changing our minds can be a real sign of maturity and humility. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, turning from vice to virtue is a good thing. Turning from virtue to vice, not so much. Our words and our behavior are influenced by our thinking and our attitudes. Since we are members of God's household, we are brothers and sisters to each other, and our attitude is to be shaped by Christ Jesus, who is Lord. Our opinions are to be influenced by properly formed consciences, shaped by faith, God's word, church wisdom, and prayer. You see, the Holy Spirit who dwells within us also inspires us and encourages us and sometimes corrects us so that we change our minds and our attitudes for the glory of God's name and our well-being and the well-being of others. Doing the Father's will matters, Jesus tells us, and our communion with Christ Jesus, who is Lord, empowers us to get God's will done.